In the book of Leviticus, if you've ever read it, it's impossible to understand what is its meaning to you. If it doesn't typify and therefore mean something else, it's worthless in the Bible. And so what we've seen is that the book of Leviticus takes the sacrifice of Christ on a cosmic basis, not something that's an option. And it dissects the body of Christ or the offering so that you can understand it, so that you can emotionalize more clearly what it is and what He is and what He has done. And your apprehension of what He is and what He has done is the only determinant that controls or modifies your sense of joy. And so the book of Leviticus, in all its complexity, is primarily a book about joy. And we've studied at length the trespass offering and its apprehension. We've studied the sin offering. We're just starting to study the burnt offering, and the next will be the meal offering, and then the peace offering. The burnt offering is the only offering that's talked about before they reached Mount Sinai, before the law was given to Moses. And the offering, it's talked about in two places in the book of Genesis. It's talked about that Noah, when he came out of when the ark landed, he made an offering. And it talks about the place of the offering of Isaac up as the sacrifice. And so when you come to the idea of the apprehension of the burnt offering, what you are really talking about is the seventh consecration of Abraham. The burnt offering is Abraham had to leave first his family. First of all, he had to leave his land. Then he had to leave his family. Then he had to leave his possessions. Then he had to leave his idea or identity with regard to thinking that God was going to bless his flesh. It was a series of moves that Abraham did. And finally, he had to offer up the promise. He had to offer up that very thing that was the most precious to him, that was the basis upon which he had suffered everything up to that point, namely the promised son, the only son, the son of his old age, the miracle son. And in that offering at that up, that became, in God's nostrils, in God's mind, a sweet savor. It's the only thing that's a sweet savor to God. Everything else you've done up to this point in your life has ministered to yourself. Even your religious self. You have gone through a lot. Some of you have gone through incredible amounts for incredible lengths of time. You've gone through all kinds of problems, interpersonal relationships, divorce, sickness, sin, guilt, judgment, no money, no nothing. And you've struggled internally, constantly, over your image of self. You've never met your image of self. You continually and on a constant basis, in one way or another, you are always judging yourself. So in effect, what you are doing in the spirit is you are opposing yourself. Now, the opposition of self, the opposing of self, is necessary to bring you to a point in which the offering, the burnt offering, can be made. So everything that you have done thus far in your life is to bring you to this point tonight, that you might apprehend it. Because in the apprehension of the burnt offering is all of the freedom that you've ever imagined, all of the liberty you've ever imagined, all of the sustenance that you've ever imagined, all of the heart's desires. And you simply have to, in order to get to this point, you simply have to say, we have to say a couple things. You have to say that I see that my struggles to improve myself and my condition have not worked. Let me say that again. In the deepest recesses of your being, you've said, you have to say, I see that my struggles to improve myself or my condition have not worked. Is there anyone here that can't say that? All my struggles to be different than I am haven't worked. All my struggles to make money, to support my family, have not worked. All my struggles to meet some image that people have placed on me or that I've placed in myself have not worked. For a whole bunch of you, all my troubles, all my struggles, all my efforts to lose weight have not worked. All my efforts to gain weight have not worked. All my efforts to be healthy have not worked. I don't care what it is. All my efforts to stop... Shall I go on? All my efforts to stop doing whatever thing it is that you do that you're ashamed of haven't worked. All my efforts to escape my own shame haven't worked. Is there anybody that I haven't hit? Now, that's the first thing you have to say. The second thing is kind of interesting. And it's a very simple statement. And it doesn't have anything to do with doctrine, it doesn't have anything to do with philosophy, it doesn't have anything to do with right imagery. It simply says, the statement you have to say is, I believe God exists. If you can say those two things, then tonight you can apprehend the burnt offering. So simple. Forget all of the complexities of words and time and imagery. And if you can just say, all my efforts have failed and I believe God is, then a mystery can take place now. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's better translated, deliberately seek Him, or with consistency seek Him. Even with importunity seek Him. Importunity means, I'm kind of a good example of importunity. I mean, if you want to see importunity in the flesh, it means that I just keep beating on you until I get what I want. What? Yeah, it doesn't have to be the right way. Importunity. It means that you haven't given up. Perseverance is good. Now, the reason that you can say this, you can have all of the trespass consciousness and all of the sin consciousness of the world, of the Babylon, of the churches. You can have heard the board of elders in the back of your mind saying, oh, you should be different, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. You have to see now that all of that hasn't worked. That's all God wants you to say. All of that religious bullshit hasn't worked. Now, God's promise to you is that if you can honestly say tonight that none of that has worked, then He will empty your conscience from dead works, so that you will not even from this moment forward have a consciousness of sin or trespass. And all this is tied to the burnt offering. You never again have to worry about whether or not you've even identified it. You know, the things that Patty and Judy are going through with trying to come up with some point back in their early history that would be a kicker. God doesn't need your good memory for you to apprehend the burnt offering. The burnt offering apprehension will so short out your neurons that it'll cause pathways to exist in your mind that will circumvent all of the judgment, all of the area, and you will automatically be covered in the blood at depths you've never even dreamed of. All of this is tied into the burnt offering. So my purpose to you, and we're going to talk a great deal about the burnt offering in the next few weeks. My purpose to you in the burnt offering is to so short circuit your mind with regard to judgments about yourself, guilt about yourself, that you can do nothing but stand before God knowing you're perfect, innocent, accepted, forgiven. And if you can stand before God in that frame of reference, there is no one in the universe that you will not be able to stand before without ever again, and you'll never again fear the faces of men. And you'll never again fear their response. And you will finally, for the first time in your life, be able to love without condition. It's stupid to love without knowing this. You know why? Because when you say you love someone, what you are really saying is that you love your image of that person. And if their image, if their reality does not meet that image, then you'll feel betrayed. That's what's happened to you all your life with every relationship you've ever had. I don't care whether it's parents or ex-wives or ex-girlfriends or ex-boyfriends. They did not meet your image. You weren't in love with them, you were in love with the image of them. You understand? So therefore, you didn't know love. You only knew idolatry. The apprehension of the burnt offering will permit you to know love. For the first time. Because it'll permit you to know love, and it'll permit you to receive love, and it'll permit you to give love. Because you know you are accepted without condition by the God of the universe. Now, let's look at Abraham. You gotta visualize this. Let's see what Abraham didn't have. Alright? First thing Abraham didn't have, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have any notes. No notes. He had no concordance. He had no Talmud. He had no tapes. He had no maps. He had no blackboard.
No TV.
He had no one of common faith. He had no one to talk about it to. The only thing, the one thing that Abraham had was honest. That's all. And in the process of his honesty, he went through certain stages, certain things that Paul said are your example. First thing he had to do is all his idols were destroyed. Now, I would ask you, now some of you may have some idols, but they don't have any power any longer. You know why they don't have any power? Because you will not tell me what they are. You understand?
That way you can't crash the bridge.
By the fact of, I can't hang up on you. No, but by the fact that you won't tell me what those idols are, is you think it's, I'm being a chicken or not, but God's pulling a trick on you. The fact that you won't tell me what the idols are means that they have lost their power in you.
Because you're ashamed of them.
You're ashamed of the idols.
Because they can't deliver us from you.
And I'm easy. But isn't that simple? Isn't that neat? So even though you haven't confessed a particular idolatry, which may very well be at the root of every one of your problems, God says, by the fact that you will not openly say it in here, it means that the root has been laid to that tree, that idol. Even though you won't say it, the fact is that you won't communicate it. Yeah, that too. The axe has been laid to the root of the tree. It means that that root, that tree, is rotting before your very eyes, and you don't even realize it.
It's like how easy it was to get that thing out today. It looked like it was going to be a huge job, and we just pushed on it, and this giant tree came out.
We pushed? He said you pushed.
You cut it. You were cutting it with an axe. No, it was an interesting example.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You and Louie were beating on it with an axe.
Only took pride in the way he pulled it out.
But it was the reason I.
He reached out with one of those massive Norwegian hands.
No, but the point was, it looked powerful. It looked like it was a giant. But the thing was dead because it hadn't been fed.
He really is strong.
Now, all of these things, the question is, well, what does this have to do with the burnt offerings? Everything. I'll tell you why. Abraham had no Bible. He had no church, he had no building, he had no fellowship, no notes, no churches, no radio evangelists, no TV evangelists. He only had his honesty. And in the process of him, by his nature, by your nature, seeking truth, never opting for something that didn't meet that standard, he finally was able to offer the burnt offering. Now, there's a great lesson in this. There was no sin offering or no trespass offering before he offered the burnt offering. That means, if you understand the law, that means that his actions became, because of his process of life, his actions became, he was Logos incarnate. Without understanding any of it. He'd never even seen the law.
I don't understand what Logos incarnate
means. Logos means the essence of God. Okay. And incarnate means in the flesh.
He was the trespass offering.
He became by his being, by his honesty. Now this is important to you. By the fact of his total honesty, he became the trespass offering, he became the sin offering, and because of those two, then he was able to offer the burnt offering. The burnt offering is the offering of total acceptance by God. It is God's food. It is the only thing that satisfies God. You understand? So, we are fortunate in the fact that we do have the Bible, that we do have fellowship, that we do have teaching, that we do have one another to exhort each other. But the fact remains that for Abraham, he had nothing. Now, the religious will say, well, God spoke to him directly. No, God didn't speak to him any more directly than he speaks to you. Again, and it says, and God called Abraham out of Ur. Well, he called him out when Abraham saw that the idols were done. The same way, if we were writing the book of Acts of Dallas, for each one of you, it would say that God called Larry out of Babylon. And boy, was he in Babylon. And God called, you know, every one of you out of Egypt or Babylon. You didn't hear the audible voice, but faith testifies that the act of your obedience to that call is as though it happened and you heard it 1 second and you did it the next second. Do you understand? Now, all of you have gone through this process. You've all known the futility. That's why I said, if you simply recognize that your efforts to improve yourself have not worked, and you believe that God is, that's all that Abraham had. And at the point of Isaac, he was able to offer a burnt offering. And Isaac was the burnt offering. It says so. Now, so therefore, the only question is, are you being honest? If you are, a mystery takes place, and it's Paul spoke about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, I think it starts in 14. He said, and thanks be to God who always, always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. For we are unto God a sweet savor. Now, the only time this word sweet savor is ever used is with regard to the offerings of acceptance. It's talking about a burnt offering. You are unto God, we are unto God, a sweet savor. Both in them that, what? Both in them that perish, and in them that are being saved. You're always a sweet savor to God. You can be nothing else. Therefore, if you're a sweet savor under the law, under this law, God's law, a sweet savor, the only way you can be a sweet savor is if you are perfect, if you are forgiven, if you have totally gone through the trespass offerings, if you have totally gone through the sin offering, if you are innocent of all charges, if you are cleared of all guilt, if you are, even more, perfect, if you are holy. Is there anyone right now that would say to me they are not perfect, holy, forgiven, accepted, innocent, cleansed? Can you know that just for a split second of time? Not because, simply because you've existed this long. Forget any religious bullshit. If you can accept that for 1 nanosecond, that means 1 billionth of a second. That means that there is a penetration in the wall, in your wall, and inexorably it will so illuminate your consciousness that you will be aware of nothing else, ever. Now, what I'm telling you right now is the only reality. Your reality isn't, oh, poor me, and I'm out there in the world alone, and I'm doing this, oh, poor me, and I've got this problem. That's not your reality. Your reality is this 1 billionth of a second where you saw and understood and know truth. Perfect, holy, acceptable, forgiven, cleansed. No consciousness of sin. No consciousness of the possibility of sin or the possibility of trespass. No consciousness of judgment. No consciousness of guilt. No consciousness of the need to ever again look at myself to see whether I need to change. That's That's what God says about you. You're a goddamn fool if you allow your mind to say anything else. Now, just as none of you has the guts to come and give me an idol, and because of that, it's lost its power. That's the foolishness of preaching. So also, even if you don't apprehend fully the fact that you have even unconsciously said amen to what I've just told you, has changed you forever and inexorably. Because you can never, ever, ever again accept the lie that you need to change, or you need to be different. You understand? That's what it means to be a burnt offering. The word is the Hebrew word olah. And it means that which is ascending. In a continuum. It's where in a Semitic language, it's the same root for where the Islamic or Muslims got Allah. So the word burnt, what's translated burnt offering, simply means that which is ascended. You already are resurrected. You already have ascended. You already are sitting at the right hand of God. You already are hid in the bosom of our Father. You already are permanently residing in the New Jerusalem. Please, if you can't, speak to me about it. If you don't, but for a moment in time, tonight, it doesn't matter what your need is. If you seek this first, every need that you could possibly imagine is met automatically, because this is the end result of the will of God. Nothing in time and space can stand against this. There is no law that can stand against what I've said tonight. This is how we, by our obedience simply means hearing under, seeing this, no matter what external circumstances may arise. Now, by our obedience, we will bring an end to time itself. Because by our obedience, we will have served the purpose of time and space. I told you before, the ancients, the rabbis, Jesus knew his disciples. He and his disciples, wherever they were, was the capital of the universe. Well, I have no doubt, none whatsoever, that this is the capital of the universe. Is that arrogant? Yeah. But it's also right. Well, I'm either right or I'm the stupidest guy you've ever met.
It's the same place.
We're even stupider.
Burnt offering. All of this is hidden in the idea of the apprehension of the burnt offering. Because if you know the law, you know that in order for it to be a burnt offering, the only thing that's ever a sweet savor under the law is a burnt offering. Therefore, if God has called you now always a sweet savor, then that means that under the law, the way a thing works, under the perfect law of God, under the justice of God, then everything I've told you tonight has to be true. Otherwise, we're following a stupid God that lies. Can you apprehend it a little bit? We are always a sweet savior. God always causes us to triumph. Some of you have had 10, 12, 14 years of getting rid of idolatry. That's all we've done so far.
that's nothing compared to how long it took Abraham.
Abraham was, you know, before Abraham could offer the burnt offering, it was, what, 130 years. This has been nothing. This has been duck soup. And the depth of your idolatry, the amount of your idolatry that has been cleared is what will give you the capacity to meet the needs of others. Because you're a vessel of a, and in spirit, each of you are a vessel of a particular size. And those of you that have had the worst problems, the most terrible fights, the most serious doubts, in the spirit, all that God has been doing is, it's a bigger container. And you'll be able to meet more need.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Can you, please, everybody, and the congregation
amen.
Said,
amen. Amen.
Because when you say amen, you say, so be it. And if you and I are in agreement as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for us by our Father, which is in heaven. It's a fait accompli now, because we have said together, amen. I just want each of you for a moment to whatever it is that's on your mind, set it. Cast all your care, cast all your burden, cast every single worry or question or whatever it is. Cast it on Him. And create the vacuum that His Holy Spirit will rush in and fill as sure as we're sitting here. God wants this to be so much a part of you that there is never, ever, ever a moment of separation. And that nothing in the universe can separate you from the love of God. We know that all things work together for good. All things. To them that love God, to the called according to His purpose. Who is he that shall condemn you? Yourself? He's gone. She's gone. Who will bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. From this moment forward, you're walking as Christ. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Only justified in the Spirit. That's the most powerful justification you could ever experience. We are always a sweet savor. You didn't know that before. Now you know it. Never, ever, ever again will you ever be anything less than a sweet savor to the Father. If you're a sweet savor to Him, as we've said, you're standing before Him perfect, innocent, holy, totally forgiven, totally accepted. Eat that flesh. That's the flesh that sustains you. That's the flesh that heals you. That's the flesh that brings ecstasy and joy in your life. Now when we take the bread and the wine, we take it as a revelation that it is no longer us. By taking the bread and the wine, we literally, in knowledge, you create the vacuum. Because you discern only His body, only His blood. None of your problems, none of your situations. And therein you then are automatically seeking first the kingdom of heaven. And all things, all needful things shall be made unto you. Including the fulfillment of the desire of your heart, no matter what it is. And that's what this bread and this wine mean tonight. It's time to leave the desert. It's time to enter fully the promise. It's time to fully apprehend your inheritance. Or you may become broken bread and poured out wine to a dying world. It don't matter. Some of you have eaten my flesh for 14 years. I survived. Now you will be eaten. Thanks now. Thanks be now. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Every place, no matter where you are. You cannot be anything other than this. It's not a matter of you trying to be something. Forget you're trying. Quit it. It's dumb. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. And when you can apprehend that you are a sweet savor of Christ unto God, then you are perfect, forgiven, holy. And if God accepts you as the offering, are you going to run around and say the offering's unacceptable? That's really dumb. What God has called clean, are you going to call unclean? That's pretty wild, isn't it? What God has called perfect, clean, acceptable, you're going to judge God and say, no, it's not clean? Again, remember when we studied in the old group, we studied visiting? You don't want God to visit you. Well, God's going to visit you if you call an offering unclean and he's declared clean.
He'll contend with you.
Yeah. You mean, I'll say it to you over and over, I'm a pussycat. Now, thanks be unto God. That's what it says right here. Which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we're the savor of death unto death. But to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Only that and him which you contain. Now, when we do this tonight, I want you to apprehend that you are the burnt offering. And by the taking of the bread and the wine, you are testifying or confessing with God everything that we've said tonight. And you're causing the Antichrist great heartache.
This is another one of the things Abraham had to do.
Right, he did this. Abraham took the bread and the wine. He was fed by Melchizedek, remember?
When you talk about sweet savor of death unto death, would you explain that one?
Well, because the world thinks it. You're throwing your life away. This is really, you're wasting it. Oh man, did I hear that one? Boy, have I heard that one. Been hanging out without that bum again. He took the bread. What did he say? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, the bread of life from this earthen vessel, to feed those around you. That's what discipleship means. Not make plans to go out and do it. You just be. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Now discern his body, discern that perfection of the burnt offering. Every single one of you are standing innocent, perfect, holy, forgiven before the Father as you eat this. You can't help but apprehend it when you eat it, because you become what you eat.
I was thinking as we were talking, it's like the time Tim, this is his first night here.
Second night. He was here at Bananas before.
And I've been here 14 years or whatever, and it's like there's no difference in God's eyes time-wise. It's only if you apprehend.
Well,
done.
It's done.
Yeah.
They took the cup. And he gave thanks, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. And the fruit of the vine forever and always is a testimony of God's love for his bride. So now we're drinking a toast to the brides and the potential brides here, and us as that bride.
Amen.
Tyra. I can say to Tyra, you can say to somebody else. The idea of, you know, I've just barely started talking about the burnt offering, and I think you can apprehend its importance. And please, please take it with you. Remember that you are always a sweet savor in every place. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. And when you remember that, then you remember you're accepted, you're perfect, and you're holy. And when you remember that, then automatically all kinds of things change in your life with no effort on your part. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.